Radio Prague News.
Coalition parties have agreed on a wage hike for public sector employees. The Foreign Ministry has said no Czechs are among victims of Hurricane Irma. And a project to revamp Wenceslas Square in Prague has won final approval. The parties of the ruling coalition have agreed on a 15% wage hike for teachers and a 10% wage hike for other public sector employees as of November the 1st. Agreement on the salary increase was reached after Finance Minister Ivan Pilný raised the projected revenues for 2018 by 21 billion crowns. This was made possible due to an upgrade of the country's growth estimate from 2.9 to 3.1%. Even so, ministers will have to find an additional 8 billion crowns to deliver on their promise. The coalition parties on Monday did not reach a consensus on whether universities will receive the additional 4.5 billion they asked for. The Czech Foreign Ministry has said that no Czechs are among victims of Hurricane Irma, which hit Florida and the Caribbean. The ministry was responding to a query by a Czech news agency. Spokeswoman Irena Valentová said neither the embassies nor consulates in the U.S. or Cuba had registered any Czech nationals being in danger. The Foreign Ministry has strongly recommended the Czechs not travel to stricken areas. According to the ministry, there are around 1,000 Czech nationals in the state of Florida, members of either the expat community or tourists. 26 people were evacuated from their homes in an apartment building in Prague 10 on Sunday night. Police, including pyrotechnics and other specialists, were called by the family of a military items collector worried about a device in his home being a possible landmine. On closer inspection, the item was revealed to be an alternator. However, investigators found large amounts of munitions and even a radioactive item. Two other sites in or near the town of Rostoki were also searched. Police have not released additional details about the radioactive find. In other news, plans to revamp Prague's Wenceslas Square have been given final approval after 12 years of debate, the news site IDNES reported on Monday. The project by award-winning Prague architect Jakub Ziegler envisages a traffic-free zone with more greenery, more space for pedestrians, a wider promenade, and more outdoor seating arrangements. The trams currently cutting through the square will be rerouted, and car traffic will be severely restricted. Work on the square is expected to start next year. The number of inhabitants in the Czech Republic rose by 9,200 in the first 6 months of this year and now stands at a total population of 10,588,063, according to the Czech Statistical Office. One of the main factors in the increase has been immigration, primarily from Ukraine and Slovakia. New Ukrainian immigrants numbered 2,600, Slovaks 2,100, and Vietnamese 700. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic is resisting mounting pressure for it to take in more migrants in line with EU quota. Czech teachers are due to receive a pay rise of 15% as of November. We have a roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later on in the program, the Czech ambassador to the US, Hinek Kmonček, discusses questions surrounding President Zeman's planned visit to the White House and much more. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic is resisting mounting pressure for it to take in more migrants in line with the EU's redistribution mechanism. In a letter to the EU Commissioner for Migrants Dimitris Avramopoulos, Czech Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said the country was pulling its weight in other ways. Daniela Lazarová has more.
Pressure on Czechia, Slovakia, Hungary and Poland has mounted since the European Court of Justice last week issued a verdict legitimising the mandatory migrant quota mechanism devised by the European Commission. Following a warning from the EU Commissioner for Migrants that the four countries could face court action unless they took in the prescribed number of refugees, the German Justice Minister Heiko Maas said failure to respect the mandatory quotas mechanism could result in a loss of EU subsidies. countries. And on a visit to Prague, the Italian Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni reminded his host that EU laws and regulations are valid for all members. The Czech Interior Minister Milan Chovanec responded to the criticism in a letter addressed to EU Migrants Commissioner Dimitris Avramopoulos, in which he pointed out how active the country has been in helping to deal with the crisis in other ways right from the start.
Česká republika je jeden z premiantů v tom pomáhání jiným způsobem.
The Czech Republic is one of the most active countries in helping to deal with this crisis. We have sent out experts to migrant hotspots. Thousands of our officers have helped patrol borders where needed, and we have sent millions of crowns in aid to countries such as Jordan and Turkey. So if the commissioner sees fit to criticize us for not taking in migrants, he should also recognize our merit in helping in other ways. Otherwise, it is merely bullying from Brussels.
The Czech Republic maintains that the mechanism of mandatory migrant quotas does not work, saying that it had not been given a chance to conduct a proper security screening of the refugees allotted to it and could not admit unchecked persons for security reasons. It moreover points to the difficulties of keeping migrants in the Czech Republic when the vast majority of them want to settle in Western Europe. Prague has long defended the view that the migrant crisis should be resolved in the countries where it originated and that finances spent there go much further than finances spent in Europe. It has also been active in offering assistance in protecting the EU's borders and sending experts to countries with large refugee camps. The Czech Republic has taken in only around 12 refugees of the close to 2,700 allotted to it under the European Commission's mechanism, and Minister Chovanec recently said no more would be admitted under this administration. However, since there appears to be broad consensus on the migrant issue across the political spectrum, the chances of a radical turnaround after October's general elections are highly unlikely.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Czech teachers are due to receive a pay rise of 15% from November, the Prime Minister announced on Monday. Other public sector employees are set for 10% increases. Ian Willoughby has the story.
The Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka emerged from a government meeting on Monday morning with the news that the unions had been waiting to hear. From the start of November, the country's teachers will see their monthly pay packets swell by 15%. While other public sector workers will be 10% better off. Last week, both teachers' unions and the National Confederation of Trade Unions announced they were going on strike alert in order to put pressure on the coalition for just such salary rises. Mr. Sobotka explained to journalists where the additional funding would be found.
By the end of September, we will discuss the relevant government mechanisms under which we will implement these pay scale increases. I would like to add also that another element of these mechanisms will be to increase the salaries of nurses and doctors in hospitals. In their case, we have agreed on a 10% pay scale rise. Of course, these increases will come in, as every year, on January the 1st. That's because they are part of a pay declaration and because of the method by which the health sector is financed.
Pavel Bělobrádek, the Christian Democrats' Deputy Premier for Science and Research, told Czech television that the source would be Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs chapters and the unused expenditures of other government departments. The amount required will correspond to around one quarter of those undrawn on expenditures and should reach around 10 billion crowns, Mr. Bělobrádek said. Mr. Sobotka said that after drawing on savings this year, the state would set aside 23 or 24 billion crowns to cover the increased public sector salaries in 2018. In conversation with union representatives outside the office of the government on Monday morning, even the Ano Minister of Finance, Ivan Pilný, who had previously questioned how they could be financed, supported the pay rises announced later. Coalition talks on next year's draft budget are set to continue, with the plan due to be presented to the employers and unions in a week's time. The government is obliged by law to submit a draft budget to the lower house by the end of September. The Czech Republic's universities have also been calling for increased funding, and the country's rectors have trailed a protest week for education at the beginning of October. The coalition didn't deal with that issue on Monday, but will return to it in the coming days, Deputy Prime Minister Bjelobrodek said.
Ian Willoughby with that report, and Ian stays in the studio with a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We start today with football, and Viktoria Plzeň continued their perfect start to the season with a 3-0 win over Slovan Liberec on Saturday. It's the first time in Plzeň's history that the club have won their opening six fixtures, and the first time any Czech side have done it since Sparta Prague 6 years ago. But still, it was Sparta who took most of the headlines at the weekend, thanks to a fairy tale moment for midfielder Tomáš Rosický, with the former Czech international captain scoring on his first start for his boyhood club since his return last year. Indeed, Rosický's goal in the hosts' 2-0 victory over Karviná was his first in the domestic league for a full 17 years.
Of course, I was really delighted because I was playing after a long break. From the start, I felt good. The first 10 or 15 minutes were decent. We created some pressure and were good going forward. But then we started to have problems. We were too open and gave them opportunities to punish us.
And Tomáš Rosický also said he was sorry to see disunity among Sparta supporters. Unhappy at some decisions made by the club's management, one section of fans turned up for the game, but instead of cheering on their team, hurled abuse at General Director Adam Kotalík and Manager Andreas Tramaccioni. Tennis, and Kateřina Siniaková and Lucia Hradecká were beaten in the final of the women's doubles at tennis's US Open in New York on Sunday. The Czech pairing went down 3-6, 2-6 to Chan Yung-Yan and Martina Hingis a day after the latter also lifted the mixed doubles trophy. Siniaková, who is 21 years old, said she wasn't overly disappointed with coming off second best in the final Grand Slam of the year.
I'm terribly glad that I could play on this big court, that I could stand beside Lucia and, of course, be in the final. It wasn't our best performance, and it's a pity that that happened in the final, but still I can regard it as a successful tournament.
Lucia Šafářová, who alongside Barbara Strýcová was beaten by Siniaková and Hradecká in the semi-finals in New York, remains number one in the WTA women's doubles rankings after the US Open. However, Karolina Plíšková has slipped from singles number one to fourth in the world following her quarterfinals exit at Flushing Meadows. Finally, the domestic ice hockey Extraliga returned for its new season on Friday. Defending champions, the Liberec White Tigers won their opening game against Hradec Králové 3-0, but succumbed 2-0 to Litvinov in their second outing on Sunday. That's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Much has been made in the Czech media about the fact that President Miloš Zeman has no concrete date to visit the White House, despite the fact he announced back in January that Donald Trump had invited him. So what is the situation surrounding that meeting today? Ian Willoughby discussed this issue and more with the Czech ambassador to the US, Hinek Kmonček, in this week's One on One.
Prior to becoming Czech ambassador to the US earlier this year, Hinek Kmoníček was President Miloš Zeman's foreign policy chief, and he still advises the Czech head of state on international affairs. In recent times, Mr. Kmoníček has been working to secure a Washington meeting between Mr. Zeman and Donald Trump, after the former announced in January he'd received an invitation to the White House from then-President-elect Trump. We discuss questions surrounding that visit and the affinity between the two presidents when Hinek Kmoníček was in Prague recently. But I began by asking the diplomat how his work was impacted by the high turnover in the Trump administration and its failure so far to fill many posts at the Department of State.
Definitely it makes it more challenging because normally you would communicate a lot with the State Department and the State Department would be able to navigate you in other parts of administration, including the National Security Council. With still hundreds of vacant places in State Department, you must basically follow your own instincts and rely on yourself and navigate yourself in the National Security Council with all the changes which happen to be there. So maybe surprisingly, I spent maybe like three times more time in the White House now than in the State Department because it is efficient spent time.
President Milos Zeman famously was one of the few European leaders who backed Donald Trump for the White House. You've worked closely with Mr. Zeman for several years. What is it, do you think, about Mr. Trump and his policies that so appeals to Mr. Zeman?
I think the main point of appeal for the Czech president was his principal stand on the fight against terrorism, because Czech President Zeman feels the danger of the militant Islam coming to the European streets as far greater than any other, and often misunderstood and underestimated. So that part of the Trump agenda was probably very much appealing for him. There are some parts where they would probably disagree. For example, President Zeman categorically opposes any kind of economic sanctions and protectionism, which would not go so nice with America First agenda. There he would be more European than Trump-like, if you want to say like that. But definitely the principal stand on the fight against using terrorism as the method of the political fight would be the main common ground for them.
And is that the only thing they have in common? Because I guess any American president would be relatively strong against terrorism.
Well, relatively strong, but if we follow especially the pre-election rhetoric of candidate Trump, he was very principled on that, and he was simply one of the persons who would call a spade, without any political correctness, which is the style for a long time favored by the Czech president. So maybe even that, let's say, mental closeness in expressiveness of their political speech would be there.
In January, Mr. Zeman said that then-president-elect Donald Trump had invited him to the White House. Mr. Zeman also invited Mr. Trump to Prague. What's the situation today surrounding those visits?
Situation is that we expect that the first of these two will be the visit of the Czech president to the United States. It's on the agenda without the date, because we sort of expect it with the date at the end of April, but unfortunately it came in the time of one of the many tops of the North Korean crisis. And the program of President Trump and the White House is... usually I make a parallel with the international airport. If your plane misses your time slot, then it must be for the air traffic control to let you cruise above the White House and land you on the first possible time opportunity between two already scheduled different planes. And that's basically where we are. We are preparing the agenda. The American side basically talks about it with me, let's say, once in 10 days, and we will see when the air traffic control will help me to navigate the plane I'm circulating over Washington.
What's your response to suggestions that Mr. Trump doesn't actually want to meet Mr. Zeman over some kind of alleged Russian-Czech arms connection?
Well, that's completely nonsense. I read it on one of the security-based blogs of some former military person who shares their wild ideas how the world is run. Well, the world is not run like that. And anyway, there is absolutely no substance to it.
On a different blog, on the website The Hill, it was stated that Mr. Zeman's team hired a lobbying firm to try to secure a meeting with Mr. Trump. Is that true?
No, it's another fake news. One of the many lobbying firms approached us with their offer. We considered the offer. At the end, nothing came out of it. No contract signed, no bill paid, nothing.
And how likely is it, do you think, that Mr. Zeman will actually visit the White House, given that the elections for president are happening in January and that may be the end of his career?
Well, that's very hard to predict, and I do not believe it's the end of his long and successful career. Basically, what I can say is that we will prepare the agenda. For the first time, air traffic control of the White House says there is a time slot. And because the agenda gets longer and more interesting for the American side, if I believe in logic, and I hope air traffic control is logical, I would let to land the plane with the response to a long list of what I would like to hear.
And is there the chance, though, of some kind of meeting between Mr. Zeman and Mr. Trump at the United Nations General Assembly in September?
We were considering it, but after consulting with the American friends, we found that if we, let's say, divide our agenda into one, two, pull aside events during this year, which we could have easily did, then we would lose the agenda for the real major meeting. And because we find it a little bit symbolical as well, through 8 years of President Obama, there was not a Czech president in Washington. Our ties are so good that there is really no reason not to have it. For the symbolic reason, especially that we are coming close to 100 years of the independence of Czechoslovakia, where America played the role with President Woodrow Wilson, we believe that it would be, let's say, more classy to have a full-time working visit.
And what would it mean for Mr. Zeman himself? You know him well. Would it be a kind of personal success for him to be invited to the Oval Office?
Well, it's a pleasant thing, it's interesting thing. On the other hand, the price must be correct. A politician can do a lot of the things, but one thing he cannot do is overpay the picture.
Generally speaking, what state do you think Czech-US relations are in right now?
Very good, very positive, and paradoxically, sometimes it plays against us. Because with the very hard start of the Trump administration, if I can quote one of the American officials who told me, well, we solve just big states and big headaches. So the Czech Republic with 10 million people like one American city cannot be a big state. And we really are not a big headache. If we were a big headache, the Czech journalist will be so happy because they would finally had something to write about President Zeman, and they love writing about President Zeman whatever they can. For me, what is important is that we are not even a small headache. We are a very standard Western, Center, European state, something like Austria. It took us a long time to get there. We know what is our value. We don't undervalue us. We don't overvalue ourselves. And we believe that this approach will every time make sure for us and Washington that we will see each other eye to eye and speak very openly about growing number of the mutual interest. Let's face it, the United States is our major strategic partner from the security point of view in this area, and the future might be volatile, so it's very good we are not a headache.
You referred to next year's centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. Is your embassy preparing many events in connection with that huge anniversary?
Yes, we are. And what I try to make sure is that they will not be focused just on Washington or New York, because America is much wider. So we have, the last time I checked the list, it was more than 100 events prepared all over the United States, including the places where we have the traditional Czech diaspora, from Texas through Illinois, Iowa, Chicago. So I believe that that is an important thing, and it's important thing to use it to remember the ideas on which we were born as a free Czechoslovakia and submit ourselves to the test if we still have them.
I'd like to end on a kind of lighter note. I was reading that you take a great interest in film. You're a published film reviewer. How do you view depictions of Washington and the White House in movies generally?
I think that's interesting, because I think I view it as a dialogue. The reality has a dialogue with the imaginary reality in movie, and imaginary reality influences the real reality. So it's typical for many American subjects that people start behaving as they know they should be behaving because they saw it in the movie. The typical was, I think, the great Scorsese series of his movies about mafia, where suddenly, according to police buggings, they found that the mafiosi finally speak like mafiosi because they saw it in the film. And I think in Washington it works very, very much the same, that people who watch, let's say, House of Cards, sometimes have the tendency to see it around them as well.
Are you a fan of House of Cards?
Well, I banned myself from watching it because I'm afraid of this dialogue to become an inner dialogue of mine. So I try to have open eyes and open mind, and I'm looking forward to watching the House of Cards once I close my doors in Washington, but not before I take it as a part of the self-hygiene.
Czech ambassador to the United States, Hinek Kmoniček, was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from Mirut Frankova. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.